Good evening, everyone. It's time for us to begin. The first song that we will sing this evening, the song title as it's found in our books, is Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow. It's the same song that you see on the screen behind me. Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow. This is song 528 for anyone following in our hymnals. After this song, without announcement, we will immediately sing song number 157. So if you're following in our books, 528, then 157. The title of 157 is For the Beauty of the Earth.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and over. and child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise.
The song that we will sing before our brother DeMario leads our minds in prayer this evening is Son of My Soul. This is song 593 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. Son of My Soul, song 593. After this song, we'll go to God in prayer.
Son of my soul, thou Savior dear, it is not night if thou be near. O may no earth-born cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes. When the soft dews of kindly sleep my wearied eyelids gently steep, be my last thought how sweet to rest forever on my Savior's breast. Abide with me from morn till eve, for without thee I cannot live. Abide with me when night is nigh, for without thee I dare not.
Let us pray. Our Father, again, we're very thankful for the opportunity to come again tonight to worship Thee. We're thankful for the many blessings that You share with us. Father, there are many of our number that do have concerns, that have health problems, that have physical problems, that need your loving hand to help heal, if it be Your will. Father, continue to look over those folks and help them to have a better life and more comfort. Father, as we look at our community around us, we're trying right now to put a program together to help reach those individuals. Help us to take the knowledge and the abilities that we have to reach out and contact some of the community, bring them into to worship with us. Father, be with Doug as he makes this trip, and be with his family as they deal with their loss. Father, be with Pearl as she's dealing with some tests and concerns. Be with her, help her to make the choices that she needs to make, and give her the comfort that she needs to deal with whatever they discover. Father, as we go through the rest of this service, please look over, take care of us, help us to apply those things in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, Oh How I Love Jesus. This is song 473, if there's anyone following in our hymnals this evening. Oh How I Love Jesus, song 473.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word, that sounds like music in my ear, the sweet first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe. Any sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, the song that we will sing after this evening's lesson is 653. That song titled The Way of the Cross. Song 653, The Way of the Cross, that's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing later this evening. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's lesson, Faith is the Victory. This is song 134 in our hymnals. Faith is the Victory, song 134.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press a battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind spread, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tints of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all gird about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
After I printed the bulletin, I switched sermon ideas. The sermon that I was going to preach tonight, I'll be preaching the Sunday night that I get back. But I did want to share this sermon with you, the Lamb of God. And I have a scripture reading here, but we're just, I'll refer to it as we go along, and so we won't worry about the scripture reading right now. You know, I don't know, if you've been around baby lambs, you know that they're cute and innocent and sweet. I want to tell you a story. They have a very special part in my growing up life. When I was about 14, and we were living out at the edge of town in Mitchell, South Dakota. And as we were there, we found out that our neighbor raised sheep. And every now and again, they would have what would be called a bum lamb, which means that either the mother died or that the mother refused the lamb. And no one ever really, the shepherds and everything, why did they do that? Well, they didn't know. But he found out that I was in 4-H, and he gave me this lamb to raise. Well, I was delighted. And as we were, what my dad did, he went and got a laundry machine, a box that laundry wash machines went in to, and we put that in the dining room, to my mother's great joy, I'm sure. And then I bottle fed that lamb probably 3 or 4 times a night. They're very demanding, just like babies are. And we grew up, and I don't remember what its name was. I've been thinking about what was the name of that lamb. And I don't remember the name of the lamb. But that story about Mary had a little lamb, it followed her everywhere she went. Well, it's absolutely true. They make the best pets and the sweetest pets you ever did see. And so I raised this lamb, and as I was raising this lamb, it grew up, and it was definitely just a very wonderful pet. And because I was in 4-H, by the time 4-H season came around to show, I showed this lamb at our county fair, and I won first prize, which would have been a purple ribbon, I think, in South Dakota. So that was their top prize. And then we took it to state fair, and I showed it there, and I got a blue ribbon on that. But because of that, what they always did with livestock, like pigs and sheep and so on, is that they sold it at the end at a market at really top prices. Well, I was delighted about all of that until after it sold and I realized what I had done. I'd sent my sheep to be butchered. And I was heartbroken, and my dad and mom, they comforted me, of course. But sometimes we don't always realize this. You think about, as we talk about Jesus tonight, talking about him being the Lamb of God, why did John call Jesus the Lamb of God? Well, the main reason, I think, is prophecy. That it had been prophesied, and we'll see that tonight as we go along. But Jesus was innocent. He was pure. He was holy. And he was a sweet Lamb of God. He was the purest example of a lamb that could be. Lambs, though, were sacrificed in the Old Testament. And in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 3, it says, Then they say to the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old and without defect, for a burnt offering. Well, I think my lamb would have been a perfect sacrifice. There was no blemishes on it. It would have been a good sacrifice. But again, some people would say, don't ever name your animals that like this, don't become too close to them, and so on. But these lambs were raised special. They were set aside and raised and to take great care that they would be willing to be able to sacrifice this lamb each year. Behold the Lamb of God is what John said in John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, as you're going to see from the prophecy we're going to look at, that this is exactly what the Israelites were expecting. Maybe not knowing what that exactly meant, but the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They knew what it meant for a lamb to take away sin, because it was offered as a sin offering. But behold, he pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus came willingly. He came willingly to us, didn't he? But asked for it to maybe to be different. And I know we're talking about a serious subject here, but I couldn't pass this up. Would you rather have a nice wool sweater, the lamb might said to the person? There's a lot of things that you'd like to do with a lamb and definitely wouldn't want to be sacrificed, but Jesus was willingly. Remember what he said in the garden 3 times. Not my will be done, but yours. Prophecy about Jesus being the Lamb of God. We're going to go to Acts 8, 32 through 35, which was a quote from the Old Testament. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Surely Jesus did not have descendants as far as physical descendants, did he? No, he didn't. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He did not resist. And sheep are just, they're really gentle like that. I mean, they don't normally fight. They don't fight if you want to shear them. They don't fight against you if you're, you know, if you take them to them. They're very docile, I guess might be the word to say. But before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And he didn't. I mean, Jesus, remember, he was so many things were said against him, and Simon the Pharisee said to him, "Don't you have something to answer? Are you truly the Son of God?" And he made him swear by an oath, and he said, "Yes, I am." And it wasn't justice, was it? It wasn't right. It wasn't fair trial. Matter of fact, several things went against the Sanhedrin laws that they did to take Jesus and crucify him. They should not have had a trial at night. They had to have all votes. If 2 or 3 people stood against it, then they could not do it, and so on. And they did not have the full Sanhedrin gathered. There's so many things that were wrong with what happened about that trial. But Jesus went ahead anyway for us. The prophecy about Jesus being the Lamb. Let's apply this as we go on in this text. Acts 8, 34 and 35. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And I think this is a good lesson for us. Of course, he's reading the passage about Jesus being the Lamb of God. And so Philip started there with Jesus. You know, sometimes when we're talking to people, and I think we'll find this out more and more as we go along, when you're talking with people, listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're asking. Listen to what they're talking about, and start where they're at. I think it's so important. I had a saying on my wall for a long time. It says, accept people where they're at and gently invite them to grow. Because I think that's so important, because sometimes people don't know a whole lot about God, don't know a whole lot about the Bible. We need to start where they're at, accept them where they're at, and help them to grow towards Christ. And that's what Philip did here, didn't he? He stood and took him where he was at, what he was reading, and he says, the eunuch said, "Do you understand what he's talking about? I sure don't." And he did. He took him and helped him to understand this, and of course it led him to become a child of God. Therefore, the Lamb of God became the Lion of Judah, the Lion of David, Lion being the symbol of Judah, by the way, and became the Lion of David, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we think, you think it's, what an odd thing to think about a lamb becoming a lion. But he did that for us. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, and looking more at this lion and the lamb, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne." And of course, do not weep over this. And it's not a tragic thing that's happened. The Lion, the tribe of Judah, of course, the Root of David, the symbol of what Judah was. And we know, as you look, especially when you look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that the Savior, the Messiah, the descendant of David, came to establish a new high priesthood, came to establish a new way. And he came as to be different than anything else, and he has triumphed. And truly, Jesus has triumphed, has he not? At the resurrection, he became victorious as he came forth from the grave, as he ascended to sit at the right hand of God, and he'll truly be victorious for us when he comes back in the clouds of the sky to take us back to be with the Father. He is the victorious one. We think about lions. I mean, I think about the king of beasts being, so strong and so, overcoming, overpowerful. We know that there are other animals in the jungle that are more strong, an elephant and a rhinoceros and so on, that are stronger than a lion. But still, the lion is a symbol of leadership. And then he says here, verse 6, I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain. Well, the Lamb of God was stood in the middle of the throne, slain. Remember when he came at the resurrection and he came to the apostles, and Thomas did not believe, and he said, put your finger in my hands and in my side so that you may know and not doubt but believe. And so we can see that it is so much true that he was the slain Lamb of God that saved us, and he's alive. He is alive. So many people, as Paul had said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you do not believe in the resurrection, if there is no resurrection, we, talking about Christians, are the people to be most pitied. But because we do, we know we have victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us remember then how we were purchased by the blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Live your lives here as strangers. Now that doesn't mean that we can't have friends and have people we know, but is this our dwelling place? Our dwelling place is in heaven. As Christians, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are strangers. And I tell you what, unless you've lived in another place, it's hard to overcome. When I first moved to Ukraine, I had studied beforehand about what would happen, what would take place as I went and lived in another country. And it was said that you were there, you were going to have a time when you just hit a wall. And it was hard because everything in the culture, even though there may be similarities, it's different. And it was so different, but it didn't bother me. I mean, I did great. I got there about September, when I first arrived in Ukraine, I got there in September, and I did fine until January. And I don't know why January hit me so hard, but at that time, it's just like, I couldn't function, I couldn't figure out what was going on. I felt overwhelmed with, missing America and missing everything else that was going on. It's not that I didn't like Ukraine and the people there and everything, it was just so different, living as strangers in a land. But then, I got through it and did well. But the next January, guess what? I don't know why, maybe it was mental, but I hit that wall again. But I knew now what was going on. I knew now what was, what was taking place in my life. We should understand and see ourselves in this world is that we don't belong to this world. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We belong to His family. And we belong in eternity with God. That's our home. That's where we want to go and what we want to be. And therefore, we live in reverent fear. We trust God to help us through. For verse 18, that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. These things in this world can help us from time to time. But there comes times when it's so hard when you're all alone. Well, you're never all alone when you're with Jesus. And I'm so thankful of that. I'm so thankful through the hard times that have come in my life that I'm not alone. And I know that I have brothers and sisters around me, but I have Jesus Christ. I have God. I have my faith that He carries me on. But it's good to know that you have those around you. And he goes on to say then in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That's how we have been redeemed, of course, with the precious blood of Christ. You know, we have take communion at to remember the blood of Christ, the death and blood of Christ, bread and body and bread, blood. But the thing that we have to understand is that we have a lamb that has been slain on our behalf. A lamb that was innocent, that was pure, and he had his own way. He's been redeemed, and he was perfect so that he could pay that price for us. Jesus was holy, blameless, and pure, according to Hebrews chapter 7, 26 and 27. Such a high priest meets our needs, talking about Jesus, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has been set apart. Yes, he set apart. He was lifted up and carried to the cross to take care of our sins. Jesus was set apart. We have set apart. We have been ones that have been set apart to be his and to belong to him and to live a holy life, a pure life before him, exalted above the heavens. He was exalted above the heavens. Then in 27, unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. And we know, we've talked about this before many times, not just from my preaching, but in classes and such. We know that the high priest offered sacrifices for the people, well, the priests offered sacrifices daily, and the high priest offered the main sacrifice once a year. But he still had to do it once a year, did he not? Jesus offered a sacrifice once and for all, so that we would be redeemed once and for all, and the price would be paid. He sacrificed for the sins once for all when he was offered up for his own. One of the passages I read, and maybe I'm getting into it because I'm thinking about it right now, but it says that his sins were for, he offered sacrifice for sins for the many. Now, Jesus died on the cross for who? For all people, right? But for the many, or for many came to him and accepted that sacrifice. That's when the sacrifice of the blood of the cross comes into action, and when we accept it and when we obey him. So that's when the blood of Christ changes our lives and makes things different for us. Jesus died, therefore, once to take away those sins. Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. The sacrifice of himself. Yes, God sent him to die on the cross, but Jesus still chose as a human being, as a savior of the world, to go. Remember, after he had been in the garden, he had prayed, and they came, and he said, told his disciples, come on now, the time is here. And he just gave himself up to him, up to them, even healing the ear of Malchus after it had been cut off, to do away with the sins as a sacrifice of himself. No one made him do it. God didn't make him do it. Now, God, it was a plan of God and Jesus together, I believe. But still, Jesus made that decision for us. We have to make the decision for ourselves to Christ, to be able to carry that sacrifice that he's made for us, and we make a sacrifice for him. We give our lives to him, ourselves to him, so that he can redeem us and buy us back from sin. He goes on in 27, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the many people. There's the many that I was talking about just a moment ago. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And we know that as we look at the scriptures that sacrifice went both ways from the cross, back to the faithful of the Old Testament to the faithful of today that would be walking with God. Jesus, therefore, was the sacrifice that was paid for us. Think about Jesus dying on the cross. The Lamb of God, a sacrifice to Jehovah God. A sacrifice that did not have to be made with lamb after lamb after lamb. It said that sometimes the blood was so heavy in the temple, you know, for the sacrifices that were made. Jesus died once of his own blood, of his own sacrifice, to pay the Christ, the price of the Christ, the Messiah, for us. We have victory, therefore, because of the Lamb. Amen. In Revelation 7, 14 and 15, it says, and he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Of course, this is in Revelation. He's talking about the saints that were around the throne at that time. And he's talking about, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Our robes are made white. Our lives are made white by the blood of the Lamb. By the red blood of the Lamb, we're made white. We're made pure. We're made holy. And we have been redeemed. The Lamb, therefore, is at the center, as we talked about, of the throne, Revelation 7, 15 and 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. This is continually talking about those people we just mentioned. Those have been washed, the robes have been washed white by the blood of the Lamb. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. I think about this passage, I think about Revelation chapter 21, where it's talking about what you receive in heaven, no tears in heaven, and so on. But here it talks about it also, talking about the blood and the sacrifice of the Lamb. But because of what he does, we have these blessings. We'll never be hungry, never again will we thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Now you have to understand that these people lived in a desert area. And that heat was probably an ongoing problem, at least a lot of the time of the year. I mean, they might have lived in Texas and thought the same thing. I don't know. When I was living in Texas and the temperatures were over 100, 2 months out of the year or more, I really would relate to this passage. Being a northerner, you know, coming from cooler temperatures, now I'm going to be going back to below zero temperatures in South Dakota this week. I don't know which is better. But I know that heaven is not going to be like that, right? It's going to be what's best and what's comfortable and what is right. God's got a perfect place prepared for us. For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, isn't this interesting? Not only does the Lamb become the Lion, but the Lamb becomes the shepherd. He is our shepherd that leads us to springs of living water. Remember what Jesus said at the woman at the well? That he was living water. He says, "You ask of me, and I will give you living water." And she says, "Give me this water so I no longer have to come to this well and draw." Well, Jesus is going to give us eternal living water so that we can be with him. And God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There's a lot of sorrow. A lot of sorrow in this world. And I think there's many things that cause sorrow, but it seems to me that probably the death of a loved one is one of the hardest ones that brings sorrow. And I'm not just saying because of what I right now, but I mean, just you think about anyone. You lose a loved one, you lose a parent, you lose whatever. I think a child is probably one of the hardest things in the world to lose. But those tears will be dried up. There will be no tears in heaven. Because the Lamb is there. We overcome, therefore, through the Lamb. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now I have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Amen, and praise God for that. Salvation and power has come through Jesus Christ. His kingdom is established. We are his kingdom. The church is his kingdom. We have been established. The authority. Jesus said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Who accuses them before God day and night. And the Satan has been hurled down. People talk about the 1,000-year reign. I tell you right now that even though Satan has been not yet cast into the pit, he is bound today. He has been overcome by the blood of Christ. Amen. He is not in control. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is our strength, right? Yes. If God is for me, who can be against me? He is our strength. I keep hitting the wrong button. Verse 11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Does that mean they weren't persecuted? They were not put to death? No, they were. But that wasn't the victory. The victory wasn't not dying. The victory was dying in Christ because of what he had done for us. So therefore you go forth boldly, serving God boldly because of what Jesus has already done for us. The Lamb of God is our shepherd, therefore. And he sacrifices himself for us. He paid the price. Therefore, we are no longer, as Paul says, we're no longer our own, but we have been bought with a price. He has paid the price that we could not pay. We can't. We can't save ourselves, people. Nobody can save themselves. Nobody is good enough to save themselves because all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All people need that sacrifice in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now the Lamb has become the Lion. And the Lion, I would say, has become the Shepherd for us. Isn't that amazing how he can be all those things to us together? The sacrifice for our souls has been paid by the blood of the Lamb with great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Jesus Christ so loved us that he went to the cross and overcame. Now how about you and me? Will you accept God's free gift for you? Accept it and take part in it. Not just say thank you, but I want to be a part. Will you love him, obey him, and serve him? That's what God calls us to do, because eternity waits for you and me. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get aside of the gates of life in the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. Sublime, where the soul is at home with God. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world. Walk in it evermore. For my Lord says, come and I seek my home, where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward.
Is there anyone here that did not have opportunity already today to partake of the Lord's Supper? Would you please be seated? We will sing the song, I Gave My Life for Thee. This is song 268 for anyone that is following along in our hymnals. I Gave My Life for Thee, song 268. After this song, we'll partake together of the Lord's Supper.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, as thou left all for me. I
Would you bow with me? Righteous and merciful God, our Creator and our Father, it's with great thanksgiving, Father, that we acknowledge your love and your compassion on mankind, your creation, and your willingness, Christ's willingness, to suffer and give himself truly so that we can have a restoration of hope. Father, that hope that we've all forfeited in our sinfulness. Christ made the way back. That way is his sacrificial giving, Father, which he did once and for all, just as we saw in our lesson this evening. Once and for all, Christ became the sacrifice that redeemed mankind for all ages. And we're the beneficiaries of that gift, Father, who have obeyed your commands, who have accepted your truth, and found that life eternal that's promised to us. Father, bless your church now and always as we partake of this bread. Help us to see in it that abused body of Christ Jesus, to know that the suffering that he endured was for us, that we caused it, and we're the receivers of that gift. Bless us now and always as we partake. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We continue in thanks, righteous God, for the blood which has the power to cleanse all of our unrighteousness, that takes away our sins, makes us as if we had never sinned. Father, we are thankful that on the day of judgment, you won't look at us and see our sinfulness. If we're in Christ Jesus, you'll see only the blood. Just as the Jews were saved on Pentecost, when that great Passover event, Father, we want you to see that blood and pass over and not exact your vengeance upon us. We want to be in that company, and we will be, Father, if we remain faithful. So we're thankful that Jesus paid that price that we owed, a price that we had no ability to repay on our own. Bless your church now and always as we partake of this fruit of the vine. And let us see in it that cleansing blood that Christ shed. It's in his name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we'll be dismissed in a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep encouraging them and letting them know they're important to us. Some of our members, even with us this evening, are struggling with various things, and you're an encouragement to us who are well. Doug's going to be doing some traveling late this week, and we pray that he has a safe journey and that he's able to share some time with the family in this time of sorrow in their lives. We have a on a happier note, opportunity to gather with the church on Thursday evening at our sister Ross's home. She's made that available to us once again. It's a good time. We've all enjoyed it so many times over the years, and we look forward to it again. Between now and then, we hope to come back on Wednesday and
Saturday morning too. Packaging of the.
That's right. I don't have that, or I'd read that to you. Saturday it's in morning. It's in the bulletin. Look on the back page of the insert that was there for the reminder of the the eldership interest here with the congregation, but just some events for Saturday where we're going to get together and put together packages and then do some goodwill things after that. If you're available, you'll be blessed by your presence. Anything further before we pray?
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we're able to come back again this evening. There's no better way to end the Lord's Day than in worship to you. We pray, Father, for those not able to do this, that you can touch them some way and comfort them, and possibly and come back and fill their pew once again. We pray, Father, this country we live in, that peace and harmony might once again prevail and do away with all this animosity and hatred that's going on. We pray you bless Doug and make the journey, bless his family as they go through this time of sorrow. Because you bless us all, Father, give us a good week, bring us back Wednesday evening, and help us, Father, to always be faithful. Forgive our sin and finally save us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.